So the early church has blessed us in a real way with the Gospel of John. And Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus, who's a Pharisee. And Nicodemus, of course, is attracted to Jesus. And we hear, initially in the Gospel, Jesus really recalling something that had happened in the Old Testament. And it was the story of Moses and the people had sinned against God. And so serpents came among them and were biting them, and they were dying. And so God interceded, Moses interceded to God, and God heard that prayer and said, make a seraph, put it on a pole, and raise it up before the people. And if the people look upon that seraph, they will be healed. And that's what happened, as we hear in the Old Testament. And Jesus is doing a teaching through that with the Old Testament being spoken to Nicodemus, he's calling him to more. He's calling him to realize that unless the Son of Man were to die on the cross, there would not be the kind of healing and the kind of gift of life that is given. That's partly why we have a crucifix in every single church and in most of our homes. And it's a beginning to say to us, just like the people of the Old Testament looked upon that seraph, which is now, of course, the symbol of medicine and doctors, that as we look upon Jesus on the cross, he calls us out of our woundedness. He calls us out of our sinfulness. He calls us out of our weakness to be filled with his life and his love. And then, of course, the famous line follows in the gospel. You see it in every football game, okay? Behind the goalpost, John 3:16. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have life eternal. And in this Lenten season, that's really what we've been called to place on the altar, before the Lord Jesus, everything that's going on in our lives, to let him touch the woundedness of our lives, to let him touch those moments of hurt, and that can be in family even, or at work, to let him touch that sinfulness that happens in our lives, the stuff that happens in darkness, because he continued in the gospel to tell us that he wants us to come into the light and to be a people of the light. Remember the story of a young girl who was with her aunt in a beautiful cathedral. It could have been in Biloxi, actually, because the cathedral there is beautiful, really beautiful. And all the stained glass windows. And the little one said, wow, because it was afternoon and all the sunlight was coming in. And she said, wow, who's that in the window? And the aunt said, well, that's St. Peter. And then she kept walking a little further. Who's that? Well, that's St. James. And who's that? That's St. Teresa. And after a pause, the little one said, I know what saints are. Saints are people the light shines through. That's us. That's meant to be us. So, in this Lenten time, all of our prayer, all of our penance, all of our sacrifice, all of our almsgiving is meant to allow Jesus to enter into our lives even more deeply. And especially in those rooms of our house of faith that have not been touched in a while, that even we don't go into. The stuff that really needs to be brought into the light and let the light of Christ truly flow through our lives. That includes anger. That includes impatience. Imagine the light shining from your car when you're driving on the highway. Imagine. Especially as the guy that's driving 100 miles an hour goes by you. And then imagine the joy of the light of Christ when you pass the guy being stopped by a policeman. Hey, you say, thank you, Jesus? So for our little ones, to be the light of Christ is to love your parents, your grandparents, your guardians. So you haven't given them a hug, little ones. Give them a hug right now. Give them a hug. Yep. Give them a hug right now. Give them a hug. And then when you go home, it's about that hug. It's about loving them. It's about following what they ask you to do so you can grow up to be the light of Christ. And then for each of us in our marriages, and if your husband or wife is here, and if they're close to you, you may touch their hand right now, with permission, of course. And it's a moment for you also to know that within your marriage, you are called to be the light of Christ. You are called to be a sign of how Christ loves his church. How Christ loves his church. That's where our conversion happens. And for all of us, those of us that are single and those of us that have other situations, it's still the invitation to enter into the light of Christ, to enter into the truth that is Jesus Christ alive in our lives, and let that light shine forth. If we do that, we will know his love in a special way. And if we do that, we can change the world. We'll pray for that grace during this Eucharist as we stand before the Lord Jesus, who has given his life for us.